Somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind, took the time and prayed for me. I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed for me. The preacher prayed for me, had me on their mind, took the time and prayed for me. Oh, I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed for me. Good day, Sanctuary Columbus Church, and welcome to the first message in our sermon series, This is Our Prayer. This series is all about praying, particularly as we pray together as a church body. This is really, really special for me because somebody prayed for me, as I know somebody is praying for you right now. This whole month of February, we are spending time to look at prayers of Paul, and today we'll be in Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. And we're doing this because February is the month that we celebrate our 10-year anniversary. How long have you been coming to Sanctuary Columbus Church? 1 year? 5 years? Have you been here all 10 years? Maybe you've only started coming in the last 10 months since we've been in this COVID season. Well, however long you have been coming, we're so glad and grateful to have you. And we are beyond excited to celebrate 10 years of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and doing good works throughout our city. I'm so glad to share with you a friend of mine and fellow pastor, Eugene Cho, who's the founder of Quest Church in Seattle, and now oversees a worldwide end of hunger organization. Now, Eugene Cho is going to share for us his prayer, perhaps, for our church. But I hope that we will listen in on the many ways that we can come together as a body of Christ, that God, by his grace, would give us 10 more years. Turn with me in Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Paul is writing, and he begins this way. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord, and the people say, thanks be to God. Let it fill our minds, flow from our mouths, and free our hearts to live as the beloved children of God. Now, for a main idea today, I went cheesy. How many of you have ever heard a family that prays together stays together? Well, the main idea for today is not too much different. A church that prays together stays together. How many of you remember back when Sanctuary Columbus Church had a used U-Haul truck? This truck, I couldn't even find any pictures of it. There's no record of this truck, but believe me, it existed. It held all of our possessions, all of the music equipment, all of the children's ministry equipment, all of our connections and setup team, coffee carafes, and all of that stuff. We parked this thing, Shala and I, in our neighborhood until we got too many stickers on there and had to find someplace else to park it. And then we parked it in like a junkyard for a while. We would pack everything in there, filled it to the brim. And on a cold day like this month that we have in February, we were still freezing our behinds off, loading and unloading that thing. When we first met at Tree of Life Christian School, some of you have been with us that long. And then we moved to Linden STEM Academy, right in the North Linden area. Some of you joined us then. And then we moved to Vista Community Church on Sunday evening, in a warehouse. Some of you joined us then. Thankfully, by that time, we got rid of the truck. We were done with it. And then by the grace of God, this building in the fall of 2019, just long enough for us to start a virtual campus. Now going on 12 months of virtually meeting. And when I think about Sanctuary Columbus Church and all that we have been through, my soul says, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for holding on to us when we really didn't have a clue about what we were doing. Thank you, Lord, for providing meeting spaces and leaders who serve to see children grow in the Lord and bring people together in community groups. Thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes to the needs of refugees and immigrants here in Columbus, and then the needs for health care in Ethiopia when we started a health clinic, and education in India when we started a school there, and even sending joyful witnesses, a family, all the way to Cambodia to share the love of Jesus. There is so much to be thankful for, church. And the psalmist said it this way: if I had 10,000 tongues, it could not be enough to thank God for all that he's done, all that he is, and all that he will be to us in the future. If you ever had a moment in your life when you needed to be reminded of God's goodness, that God's got you, just look back to see a few of the things that he's brought you through and tell the Lord, thank you. If there was somebody sitting next to you right now, you would just reach over and tap them and tell them, I got something to thank God for. Or you might look behind you as somebody was jotting notes about all of the things that they could keep record of God for and running out of room on the paper to say, do you have anything to thank God for? Has God done anything for you in your life? Paul says these words: I thank my God whenever I remember you. Paul remembers the Philippian Christians with thanksgiving. And in the standard way in the ancient Near Eastern time, they would begin their letters with well wishes for good health. But Paul doesn't focus on good health as he focuses on a healthy relationship, one that begins with God, one that's instituted by God, one that's started by God, and one that will be continued by God. Paul remembers the Philippian Christians with thanksgiving. However, watch this. There were problems in the Philippian church, serious ones. Later in this letter, Paul will admonish the Philippians to beware of the evil workers who sneak in among them. Beware of the enemies of the cross, whose God was their belly and their appetite. And instead of keeping their minds on heaven, they put their minds on earthly things. Paul later would write about a conflict between two leaders, Euodia and Syntyche, and the need for a resolution between them. Paul is aware of this fact. Churches got problems. Come on, somebody. Churches have problems, but while he acknowledges that they have problems, he admonishes them by beginning with gratitude and thankfulness. Beginning with gratitude and thankfulness is not just a reminder to pastors or leaders. In fact, if you are a leader at Sanctuary Columbus Church, if you're a group leader, a children's leader, a singer on the worship team, one of our outreach team members, wherever you serve in church, may I implore you to begin with thankfulness and gratitude. And I can say that this is not just a word for those who find themselves in leadership. Thankfulness is necessary for all believers. And thankfulness, by the way, is a choice. My homeboy Henry Nouwen uses the synonym gratitude for thankfulness when he says these words: gratitude as a discipline involves a conscious choice. I can choose to be grateful even when my emotions and feelings are still steeped in hurt and resentment. It is amazing how many occasions present themselves in which I can choose gratitude instead of a complaint. If you have a job and you work with other people, it may be easy to pick out the negative things about the job, right? And even the people you work with. Beginning with thankfulness, though, doesn't ignore that the problems are present in the workplace. However, it will give you a broader perspective and a holistic view of that environment. If you're in a relationship, as a married partner or a close friend or even a family member, isn't it easy to point out the negative, to highlight the problem areas or the areas that need corrected? Maybe it's so easy to point out those negatives because you have a front row seat to all of their mistakes, all of their shortcomings, all of their weaknesses. And maybe it's easy to point them out because if you don't point them out, who will? Isn't that why God put you in their life in the first place? Well, thankfulness is a constant theme of Paul's letters. In this regard, thankfulness is a choice that Paul applies consistently over and over and over again, and he cultivates thankfulness. In these eight passages you see on the screen, Paul writes specifically, "I thank God for you," to the church in Ephesus, to the churches throughout Rome, to the church in Corinth and Colossae, to the church in Thessalonica, to the young pastor Timothy, and to the follower of Jesus, Philemon. Paul says over and over again, "I thank God for you. When you come to mind, I well up with thankfulness and gratitude." And it's a reminder that we ought to thank God for our community, to thank God for our Christian relationships, because gratitude has benefits, and a sure way to receive the benefits of those relationships is to start with gratitude. It breeds a feeling of togetherness and unity, a growth in the love for our friends, and a sign to God that we can be entrusted with more, even closer friends. Now, there's been a lot of research on the brain and how the brain is connected to gratitude and how gratitude is connected to the brain. And as researchers have continued to study the effects of gratitude, here are a few things that they have found. Number one, gratitude unshackles us from toxic emotions. We get ourselves in those positions where we do that self-talk and we have the full-blown conversation between us and that person, and there's no room for gratitude, only for complaint, only for judgment, only for resistance. In fact, gratitude is an emotion of connectedness, not an emotion of protectiveness. That connectedness allows you to be meaningfully joined with another person and to remove toxic ideas and emotions from your brain. Secondly, gratitude helps us even if we don't share it. A study in Berkeley found that even people who simply wrote letters of gratitude to individuals that they never sent the letter to had increased emotions of joy and thankfulness. Simply going through the habit of expressing your gratitude out of your mind, out of your head, allows you to receive some benefit from that emotion. Number three, the benefits of gratitude, though, take time. They take time to take effect. I was a teacher for 8 years, and one of the focuses and purposes I had in my classroom was to remind myself that for every negative thought, it would take 5 positive thoughts to combat it. So if a child was thinking down on themselves, or if a child had heard someone say something negative to them, a word even, or multiple words that were said that morning before they even stepped into my class, it was my duty and my job to express gratitude and to speak positivity into their lives, realizing it would take five thoughts and words of gratitude to combat one negative one. The benefits of gratitude take time to take effect. And then lastly, it has lasting effects on your overall health. People have been found to sleep better, to have healthier relationships, to think not just in their minds overall, but their overall bodies having an overall health of positivity. In fact, it's beginning with thankfulness that Paul leads us not to stay there, but that thankfulness turns into prayer. He says this in verse 4, "In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy." How many times does he say it here? All my prayers, all of you, always. And what Paul is getting at here is that all of his prayers include thankfulness and gratitude. There's not a time of in his prayer life where he doesn't include gratitude and thankfulness for everyone. Paul doesn't have any favorites. I was reading a book on pastoral leadership called They Smell Like Sheep, and one pastor commented that there's some funerals that he's just happy about. I was like, oh, ouch. There's some funerals that he's just happy to give. It's like, okay. There's some people that get underneath the skin. But for Paul, he's saying, hey, listen, I pray for all of you. I've got love. I've got joy for every single one of you, regardless of where you are on your spiritual journey, regardless of where you are on being shaped and transformed into the image of God, regardless of where you are, I am praying for all of you. He says he does this always. He doesn't get the sense that, you know, it's he spends 24/7 hours, you know, 24 hours in a day, 7 days a week, just praying to God over and over again, but that his prayers are consistently infused with joy. This strikes me as different in the way in which we're often taught to pray for ourselves, to pray reverently, to pray earnestly and diligently, sorrowfully, with a heavy heart. But how often do we associate joy with prayer? Is not Paul also the one who said later on in Philippians 4, "Rejoice always in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice." Turn your thankfulness into a prayer. Here's some ways you can do that: by keeping a gratitude journal or simply making a list of things to be grateful for. By beginning or ending, in fact, your prayer with thankfulness. By practically saying to someone, thank you, and being specific about what you are thankful for. Specifically, Paul is thankful and joyful because the church in Philippi had shared the gospel with him. He says, from the first day until now, from the earliest time, because Paul is recalling this early mission trip that he had to this place called Macedonia. Paul and Timothy, along with Silas, started a new mission in this region when Paul had a dream of a man from Macedonia calling him to come over and bring the gospel with him. When they arrived, though, in Macedonia, however, it was a woman named Lydia, a business owner, who had been holding prayer meetings throughout the city and inviting others to join her in seeking God, whom they found. Lydia was their first convert to the way of Jesus. The next convert was another woman. She had a gift of divination and sorcery. She could foretell the future. When Paul and Silas met her, they cast the demon out of her, and she became free from that power and gave her life to follow Jesus. That didn't go over so well with her former employers, who exploited her for their own business. And so they had Paul and Silas thrown in jail. That woman was their second convert. While they were in jail, Paul and Silas sang songs. They prayed to God, who miraculously broke open the prison doors. And the jailer, who stood by to see the whole thing, was tempted to take his own life. But instead, he became the third convert through Paul's and Silas's witness. But it wasn't just these three converts. Along with family and friends, they made up the first church in Philippi. And 10 years later, Paul is writing back to them this letter, "Oh, for the joy that is produced in me when I think about you." You can read all about those converts in Acts chapter 16. Paul remembers them because they received the word of God. They believed it, they obeyed it, and they shared it with others. And this reminds me of a few questions. But before I get there, let me talk to you about Ross and Sarah Gordon. Ross and Sarah Gordon were baptized in 2011, just a few months after we started Sanctuary Columbus Church. We were there at Tree of Life, and we had this pool set up that we had to borrow from another church. And Ross, much earlier, had said, "Rich, I want to be baptized. I want a moment that marks my journey with Jesus Christ as an adult." And because I'm married to Sarah, and she's in this journey right along with me, she wants to be baptized too. And so that day I baptized Ross, and Ross dunked Sarah. I mean, like, he took her under, man. It was like, yo, I want to make sure she gets covered with all of Jesus as much as possible. It was a glorious day. Ross and Sarah have joined the journey continuously at Sanctuary as a part of community groups and sanctuary groups, discipleship huddles, serving in children's ministry and finance ministry team. We've seen them as a young couple with no children to now expecting their third as a part of this family. In 2014, Sanctuary Columbus had its first covenant partner class. There we are at Abbey Lane Apartments, an apartment that we rented out where we served refugees and immigrants just down the road here on Morris Road. And man, just cramped into this little apartment. There was no COVID at this time, so that's why no one's wearing a mask, okay? As we endeavored to learn what it meant for us to be joined together as covenant partners who would share in the joy of developing a relationship with Jesus Christ, who would share in the joy of being a multiracial church, who would share in the joy of serving our city to the glory and the goodness of God. I've asked our prayer team to share their heart for this sermon series, This Is Our Prayer. And each week, they are going to be sharing with us what God is putting on their hearts for our church. This isn't just my prayer. This isn't just Shala's prayer, although this dream for Sanctuary started in our minds, in our hearts. It was also started in the hearts and minds of others, and it will be maintained by the hearts and minds of others. So let's listen and hear from Wanda Coleman and Tammy Eckhart share their prayer for Sanctuary Columbus Church.
Okay. Hello, Sanctuary Columbus. My name is Wanda Coleman, and I'm one of the intercessories here at Sanctuary. And today I would like to come and just share a word of encouragement.
Hey, I'm Tammy Eckhart, and Wanda and I have been prayer partners over the last several months on the intercessory team, and I'm grateful just to be able to ask her a few questions as she shares how God has been meeting her through intercession, and hopefully provide a word of encouragement for you all. So Wanda, you had shared with me about how gratitude has been something that God has been laying on your heart as you have been praying for others. And I wondered if you could just share a little bit more about that with us.
Yes, Tammy. One of the things that God has been speaking to me about is gratitude, and just looking over and reflecting the past year and this current year, just realizing that my circumstances don't have to dictate my gratitude towards my God. And so I'm taking that posture in prayer to just be grateful about everything that God is doing in my life. the peace that he's given me throughout this past year and this year. I had a medical procedure done last year and he was faithful. He did just what I asked him to do. And my warriors on the prayer team prayed me through it. And I'm very grateful for that.
That's great. Could you share about what practicing gratitude has looked like for you in this season, as you have experienced a lot personally, but certainly we all have been experiencing just challenge and trauma of various sorts in the world around us. What does practicing gratitude look like for you?
For me, what practicing gratitude looks like is just being mindful of everything that God is doing in my life. On a daily, just acknowledging his presence and thanking him, taking that moment and that posture of praise and worship and just thanking him for who he is in my life and how he's moving in my life. And it's my relationship with Christ is really helping me in this time that we're living in.
Thanks. Thanks for sharing those examples with us. When you think about gratitude, what is it that you want people at Sanctuary to remember or know about thankfulness, about gratitude in this season?
What I would like for people to take from this is to always look inwardly and just assess, you know, the things that God has done for you, the things that you've asked God to do, and you saw his hand move in your life, and just taking that posture of being thankful that he heard you and he moved on your behalf. And I would like you to take that position in life.
That's great. Thanks, Wanda, for sharing just some things that God has been putting on your heart in this season.
You're welcome, Tammy. Have a great day.
I'm so grateful for Wanda and for Tammy, who came together to share their heart for Sanctuary Columbus Church and for gratitude as God is ministering to Wanda about gratitude. May it overflow with gratitude for the whole church. The prayer team prays weekly and regularly for our church body. Can I also mention that every second and fourth Sunday, they open up a Zoom prayer room to pray for anyone who has a need. The need could be anything. They pray together. And this leads me to those questions that I referenced or flashed to earlier. Questions for us to think about today as we apply this passage of scripture and even this series to our lives. Number one, in what ways can you cultivate gratitude in your daily life? As you are looking at the relationships around you, and in particular, you are looking at your involvement here at Sanctuary Columbus Church, what ways can you cultivate gratitude in your daily life? Number two, who comes to mind that you can express your gratitude? The low-hanging fruit here are people you live with, people you work with, people you do Christian life with. Who comes to mind that you might express your gratitude for being a partner in ministry in your life? Someone who encourages you, someone who's been a blessing to you. Number three, what prayers do you have for Sanctuary? If this is not just my prayer or even the prayer of the prayer team, but it's for all of us, we want to hear from you. What are your prayers for Sanctuary Columbus Church? What's God stirring in your heart and in your emotions for this congregation, for this year, for the next 10 years? And then lastly, do you have a prayer partner? A prayer partner is somebody with whom you share encouragement. That is, you encourage them and they in turn encourage you. A prayer partner is somebody you text with to let them know that you have a need coming up or a joy that you want to invite them to celebrate along with you. A prayer partner is somebody you call up in a moment of high need, a low point, a temptation, or a depression. Who do you have in your life as a prayer partner? I love how the prayer team is partnered together, and even on the prayer team, they are partnered with the ministries of Sanctuary Columbus Church to cover them in prayer. But as a church body, what would it look like if each of us had a prayer partner? We're not on the prayer team and we don't get all the prayer requests that come up, but we just have one person with whom we are connected with and connected to pray regularly together. When Paul prays, he says, "I am confident of this very thing, that God who began the good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ," meaning God's not done with you, and neither are my prayers. This series is actually a bit of a prompt for us when we go into the Lenten season. Lent begins February 17th, and on that evening, we're going to have a time of worship and prayer together. Lent is 40 days between Ash Wednesday and Good Friday, with the exception of Sunday. And we're going to provide a prayer guide for you for the Lenten season, for those 40 days. Ways in which we can bring our prayers together, ways in which we can turn our attention towards God. You'll hear more about that next week. But here's my prayer for you, church. If I were penning a letter to you, I would begin the letter to the sanctuarians this way. Dear Sanctuary Columbus, grace and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father, in Christ our Savior, and through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Your faithfulness fills me with gratitude, running over with thanks to God, for he has made us his beloved children. I cannot help but pray that your identity be firmly rooted in Christ Jesus by keeping your minds stayed on the kingdom of God. You are heavenly citizens with a temporary assignment here on earth to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly as one body in Christ. I am confident in this, that what God began in us, he will bring it to the day of completion, should the Lord tarry. It's in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit we pray. Amen. Would you sing this word with me just for a moment? It's a song of thanks. Just a simple song that says, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. You've been so good. You've been so good. Oh, you've been so good, Lord. You've been so good, and I just want to thank you.